Welcome to the Citizens for Health radio show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Citizens for Health radio show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. The Citizens for Health Education Foundation offers tools to inform the public of health issues and educate and influence policymakers. Jim Turner is here to spread the word about some of the most interesting topics that can affect your world. From the dangers of mislabeled or dangerous products to the questions and concerns of vaccines. You'll want to listen to Jim as he speaks on behalf of Citizens for Health. And now, on to our show with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Take it away, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For those people that want to know what time it is or what date it is, it's noon Eastern Time, May 14th, 2021. So it's a Friday. We always do this with Jim Turner on Fridays at noon Eastern Time whenever he's available, which has been a lot more often than in the past because of the COVID thing. So we are here on Building Fortunes Radio. We have a special page that's set up for all the archived radio shows. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/citizens, you'll be able to hear that. And if you've heard me say the word citizens a few times, it's because Jim is part of Citizens for Health. He's an attorney there since almost the very, very, very beginning, back in 1993. Citizens for Health has a great website, citizens.org. So it's citizens.org, O-R-G, and you want to sign up for the newsletter. And we talk about different and various things, and we've had some unbelievably exciting and knowledgeable radio shows. Most of the knowledge coming from Jim. I get a chance to ask the questions and take advantage of his wealth of information because he's been an attorney for decades. He's one of the original Ralph Nader Raiders. He's, again, done unbelievable things with Citizens for Health, touched on industries like homeopathy, acupuncture, mercury fillings, obviously with the healthcare stuff with vaccines. We've dealt with politics, the economy, personal issues as well. So it's been a really great run with Jim Turner, and he's here today. And I don't know what we're going to talk about because he just dialed back in, but there's a lot of things that we can talk about, and I'm going to say hi first to our great friend, Mr. Jim Turner. So, Jim, thanks for being here.
Hi, Peter. I'm glad to be here. I always enjoy these talks, and and I'm kind of interested to see what you're interested in this week.
Well, there's first of all, time restraints. How are you doing on time? I know sometimes you have to
I'd like to end up about 12:30, quarter to one, something like that.
Okay, there we go. Okay, good time. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of things going on. You can touch on anyone you choose. As I've learned from being here on, you know, buildingfortunesradio.com/citizens, I've learned a lot about what's going on with the vaccine industry and a balanced view of a lot of the things happening with the vaccine industry. And one of the fans that I've become of is a gentleman named Del Bigtree. He was the gentleman who made the movie Vaxxed. He basically changed careers to do this, quote-unquote, the concept of the vaccinations. When the pandemic switched, of course, they were dealing with the pandemic and the coronavirus stuff and obviously the vaccine remedies that people were going to be coming up with. And he has been on fire recently and basically made a decision, I'm done, I'm using my words for his, I'm done researching this. And there's a gentleman, he just interviewed Dr. Fleming. This is a bioweapon. So this was, we don't have to worry about it anymore. We have the confirmation. It's done. I'm over it. You're going to either know about it or not, but we're settled over here over at The High Wire. He's got a website called thehighwire.com, and we're settled over here. This was a bioweapon. So if you have any feedback on that, and then moving forward, he's like, listen, okay, now we know there was evil. It wasn't just some kind of a natural event. That's what he's talking about. If he's talking about, and I can almost hear some of the things you're going to reference back to the idea that was, is it just this one thing that we're talking about, or is it multiple things all at one time, which is the reason why we have you here on the show. But if you want to talk about that, that's fine. The other thing that I really want to talk about is something that's white hot right now that you might have some experience at because you have friends over in Jerusalem or maybe even business people over in Jerusalem as well, is what's happening in Israel. When I was a young man growing up in New York, I grew up in a very multicultural area. And I knew what a Jewish person was. Like, a lot of people don't know what Jewish people are. I knew what a Jewish person was because I worked with them. I might have lived around them. I hired them. They were my branch managers. And I'm talking everything from Orthodox Jew to super-duper Orthodox Jew to being like a kind of a Jewish person, like my friend Scotty, my brother's friend Scotty, who used to celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah all at the same time. And I was always watching the headlines, what was going on in Israel and around that whole Palestine area. And then when I was a branch manager, I'm sorry, division manager or area VP over in Electrolux, a vacuum cleaner company, one of my closest branch managers was from Palestine. And then I got the other side of the story from the Palestinians. And I'll share with you, it's a mess over there, and a lot of people really don't know it. And since you have a lot of experience in a lot of different things, including politics, if you want to delve into that at all, I'd really love you to help unravel some of the things that are happening right now, because it looks like that's heating up again. And a lot of stupid comments are being made by a lot of people, smart and stupid, and it would be really educated to be able to get a little bit more about that background. So take your pick, or if you brought one to the table, you can do that as well. So it's either what's going on with the coronavirus and the vaccines things and the unraveling as a result of really smart people questioning Dr. Fauci, like Dr. Rand Paul, or Del Bigtree, or if you want to talk about Israel, Palestine, and what's going on over there, I'd love to hear any of it.
All right, well, let me start by saying, first of all, my posture is a curious agnostic. I'm very interested in knowing what all kinds of people think and what kinds of facts there are being thrown out and how they're all being pieced together and what's underway. And I'm very agnostic about any opinions. I think having opinions when you don't need to probably is extra effort and takes up a lot of time and energy and effort. So my observations are more or less observations, and unless I have to take an action based on absence of information, I kind of walk through it and listen to all sides and see what picture they make. And what's interesting is if you pick up your three items, there's one I found quite interesting is Thursday about 100 or so Republican luminaries came out and supported Lynn Cheney's status and criticized the Republicans in Congress for having expelled her from the conference. And so that's another issue there. And what's interesting to me about the issues that we've talked about, say coronavirus, what's going on in Palestine, the issue that I just raised about the split in the Republican conference and the Republican Party in general, what's interesting to me is they all have in common the fact that they are emerging in a situation when things that we thought were settled are not settled. We are in a situation. Let's just look at start with the United States. We have a pretty divided government. Yes, the Democrats barely control the House and the Senate and control the White House, so they can get some things done. But the way that they would like to get done, but the way things are organized, I would argue, and I have said this on this program before and many other places, it looks to me like we had both a blue wave and a red wave in our last election, 2020. Those are the two largest presidential vote-getters in American history. And while Biden won the White House fairly handily by the official standards, Trump still wanting to debate that, but the fact of the matter is that the power is in Biden's hands and moving forward. At the same time, Democrats did not pick up nearly as many seats in the Senate as they expected, and that ended up being 50-50. And the House, they lost seats. And in statewide elections across the country, they lost significant numbers of voting. So that we have a red vote, a red wave and a blue wave. My own sense is that we need to integrate what's the red wave is asking for and what the blue wave is asking for and come up with various policies. One of the things I noted recently, I think 2 days ago, it was a big headline. The first part of it was that CDC has really come down hard on the need to wear masks. They don't think that's a big important thing anymore, apparently. if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask pretty much ever. And that's being touted now in the press here in D.C. as the first bipartisan act of the Biden administration. So keep that in mind. But recognize the government is very closely split here in the United States. Now, let's switch over to Israel. In Israel, we have a situation where government, there's actually no formal official government. There's a caretaker government. Netanyahu is handling the caretaker government, but the election was such that they could not decide who won. And so now the opposition to Netanyahu is being asked to form a government, and we'll see what happens. My suspicion is that the kind of upheaval you're seeing in Israel is in part the result of having a split government the way that they do. My friends, they're in Haifa, they're reporting that the Iron Dome defense mechanism has been operating pretty heavily. There have been about 408 rockets, I think, have been sent from Palestine into Israel. And Israeli military has shot down about 200 of them, and they've let the other 208 go by because they were going to land in places that didn't matter. And I gather it's very expensive to shoot one of these things off and stop them. There's a huge debate about Hamas. Remember that Hamas runs the area that the Palestinian battles are in, whereas the Palestinian Authority runs the other part of the Palestinian setup. They're split, so you've got a split government on that side of the battle. If you look at places like Brazil, where we're having a tough coronavirus outpouring, government is very, very tightly split. The previous leader of Brazil was sent to jail for corruption. And just within the last couple of weeks, he was released because the courts in Brazil overturned his conviction. So that's an interesting situation where they're now the split nature of that government structure is also being coming out in public. We, of course, know what's happened in Europe, where you've got a situation where the British have exited from the European Union, and now Scotland wants to exit from England, and Northern Ireland and Ireland are trying to have some kind of framework set up that they can actually trade without having barriers. What I'm saying is that generally speaking across the world, you can see a kind of upheaval coming from the bottom up and a kind of imprecision in the response of the authorities. The authorities are trying to use political and government power to close off the energy that is flowing out of the people. Russia is having the largest demonstrations in the street that it's had in its history since the Russian Revolution. You've got problems going on in China. Generally speaking, you know, you've got the overthrow of the government in Myanmar. In other words, there's a worldwide upheaval, which strikes me as being an upheaval of individual people and small groups of people and communities throwing off the kinds of constraints that have been constraining them, probably, I would say, at least ever since the Second World War. Second World War blasted a whole bunch of conventions into smithereens, and then we started putting conventions back together after the Second World War, and those are now being pretty well eroded. So that's kind of the context where things are, and then you can look at each one of the individual battles, and you'll see how things are going one way or the other. The coronavirus situation, you mentioned my view, which is, I mean, why? First of all, I think Del Bigtree's stuff is very useful to listen to and gather information from. He has good guests on his program. He gets good reporting. It's very important stuff to know and to integrate into the overall view of what's going on. And like you pointed out, I personally don't see why we couldn't have some kind of a biomanipulation going on and have something out there that's very dangerous. And there is something that's very dangerous out there. And simultaneously have an ordinary or a little more rigorous flu epidemic simultaneously. And all of a sudden you have people arguing, and one's arguing based on the belief that there's a flu epidemic going on, and the other one's arguing based on the belief that there's a bioterrorist mechanism that's escaped or been released from a laboratory. Now, those people, when they try to talk to each other, are going to have a tough time because they're starting from completely different premises. My sense is that why couldn't it be both or more? I mean, there are 30 vaccines under development. And I'm kind of struck by the fact that people say, have you gotten the vaccine yet? Right now, you know, in D.C. here, I think there are 3 vaccines available, maybe 4. And they're coming along. There'll be some more in June. There'll be some more later in the summer. I mean, a reasonable person could say, listen, I like the 7th vaccine that's coming along because I think it makes more sense. These are all being developed out of 3 or 4 different scientific theories. Now, if I study it really carefully, I might say, "Well, Lee, I'm not too keen on the Pfizer and Moderna, and I'm a little nervous about Johnson and Johnson, and AstraZeneca makes me nervous. So maybe I should just wait for the 5th and 6th and 7th ones and see how they come along." You know, there's so when you say, "Have you gotten the vaccine yet?" That's a little bit of a misnomer. So you piece all that together, and what we are in, I think we're in a breakout. I think human beings are taking more, exercising more of their innate power. They're taking more responsibility for things in their lives, and they're really announcing more agency across on all these issues. You know, race, gender, health, international relations, the immigration issue. All kinds of people are stepping up and saying, I want to do it this way. And what we need to do as a society, and we've, you know, dedicated ourselves to this premise from the beginning, how do we integrate everything that is going on and give people the maximum opportunity to express their own identity, their own selves, and their own way of being, and without interrupting or blocking or in any way interfering with other individuals. And that's been the Democratic, you know, the American Democratic initiative all the way from the beginning. So that's my immediate reaction to what you talked about, Peter. You want to react to my reaction?
First of all, you brought up some, of course, excellent points. So probably the biggest one that I learned from you early on was the concept of what do you mean by the vaccine? So the vaccine is like so big of a deal, and I'm kind of just underlining your points for our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience, for the ones that I took away by listening to you at the very, very beginning. And the other thing in reference to why can't it be more than one thing altogether? A lot of people were blinded by coronavirus, and they forgot that there was a flu. So what about all those people that are saying, well, for me, I got it, but for me, it was nothing more than a cold. Well, did you get it, or did you get the flu, or all the testing that was involved, and the fake testing, or the right testing? It was really kind of crazy. But we do know right now that there's a lot of things happening with reactions to the virus, and that VAERS reporting that are somewhat alarming for me. And the idea that it was a bioweapon described by Del Bigtree and lots of other people, not just him, but is really steering me in a different direction. It was confirming for me a direction that I was already bringing in my mind that, you know, there's something weird about this, and I'm just going to lay back and let, I hate to say it, other people be the guinea pigs, but that's basically what's going on for their own reasons. Now, relative to, I don't know if you want to talk about the political stuff, but there's obviously an unraveling going on with the CDC mask policy and the control that they probably want to continue to have. And what is this all going to mean relative to schools and outside events and all this stuff? it's now the government is using, well, see, it's because everybody's being vaccinated. So if you get vaccinated, you'll be a good boy. You pat on the head, maybe even a cookie. But that's really where the direction is going, where, oh, well, this is all happening because of this great vaccine system that we put together. And we're going to lose our rights because you're either going to be in this dividing line, again, this intersectional stuff, of are you vaccinated or you're not. And there's going to be a lot of pressure, I think, even still. So if you want to comment on where do you think this new CDC maskless policy, but as long as you're vaccinated, is going to lead for schools or flying or traveling or other industries, I'll let you comment on that, please.
Well, yeah, it's tough at any point in time to accurately say what's going to happen later on. There are ways of influencing things in the current time period that will affect how they come out later. But for me to say what I think is going to happen in the schools is a really a fool's errand in a sense, because you don't know. I mean, I'm pretty confident that an awful lot of behind the scenes maneuvering went on to get this mask statement out, because it does start to reduce somewhat the flashpoint in society. And we need to understand, first of all, I want to just, I've said this on the program before, but I want to say it again. I got asked to look into vaccines back in 1970 by the former Secretary of Health and Human Services. I was working with the Nader Group at the time, and he called over and said, you know, I've seen problems in vaccine regulation that since I've been out of office that I didn't see when I was in office. Can you guys take a look at it? So we looked at it, and we spent, actually, I spent 10 years is that one of the primary issues that I was involved in from 70 to 80. And then what was interesting to me is that we rode through the 1976 swine flu debacle. And it was a debacle. We knew it was a debacle the day it happened, the day they started. The first guy that they said got the swine flu back in 1975 was clear that this was not the kind of infectious problem that they didn't want to have on the front burner in the country. And they said, ultimately, we tried everything we could to stop creating the vaccine and the approach that they did. And we were not successful. They went out and said they were going to inoculate 200 million people, and they stopped at 49 million because there were too many deaths and disabilities taking place from the vaccine itself. Now there's a very interesting question. What's too many? They accept a small number of deaths. The federal government's paid over $3 billion to families whose children have either died or been maimed by vaccines over the years. And the society, with the way it makes decisions, concluded that that was an acceptable cost. We don't know how many people are going to have side effects from the vaccines that we're putting out there now. And the argument that the CDC is making and the government's making is that the pandemic is so ferocious and so powerful and so widespread and so tough that we can accept X number of side effects and deaths. We consider them non-significant. We don't know what that number is, and no one has made that decision. It's all just been allowed to come along as a byproduct of the decision that everybody should be vaccinated. So that, my view is that those things should be looked at carefully. Citizens for Health point of view is that anybody who wants a vaccine should get a vaccine. They shouldn't take vaccines and store them in hospitals as they were doing and keep them for properly designated individuals while there are people in their area that want them. That shouldn't be happening. And also, nobody should be forced to take the vaccine. And interestingly enough, it looks like there may be but there's enough what they now call vaccine hesitancy that the CDC also said, I think last week, that they did not think herd immunity would ever be reached. Now, herd immunity is a very, very controversial concept. At one point, FDA said if they had a 50% effective vaccine, they'd go for it. It's unclear whether herd immunity is 65% or 85% or 95%. Those are all debated numbers for herd immunity, and now they're saying there won't be herd immunity. But you don't have to wear a mask because you've gotten vaccinated. I think that I believe the European Union has said that green passports are unethical. I'm not sure where that stands, but I know there's a debate about it. We have to really understand that the society is going to have to integrate all kinds of people, those who want to wear masks, those who don't want to wear masks, those who want to get vaccinated, those who not want to get vaccinated. We're going to have to set up rules and principles and dynamics for how everybody interacts. We're going to have to do much, much better analysis of what's actually going on. If there are two or more things happening simultaneously, we need to learn to sort them out. I mean, what? There's no reason why you couldn't have a flu epidemic, even a serious flu epidemic, and some kind of chemical that came out of a laboratory. The former head of CDC has gone public, I think about 2 weeks ago, saying that he personally, and he's been a virologist for his entire career, in the most powerful virology position there is, head of CDC, and he himself said he could not rule out that this was some kind of a chemical agent that came out of the laboratory in Hunan. He could not rule that out. And, of course, he really stirred everybody up with that statement. That's the first step towards saying it's a bioweapon. The other reality is that we don't know step by step how best to handle whatever this thing is. Coronavirus has been around at least since the 1930s. It's been studied, it's been looked at, been developed, and there are something like 3,200 different coronaviruses in a bat, and there are others all over the place. And we now know that you get variants when you put it in the population. So how we deal with that is going to require a lot more subtlety than are you vaccinated or not. Or are you wearing a mask or not? Those are such gross ways, gross in the sense of large, undifferentiated ways of dealing with it. And by the way, if you want to throw another thing on top of this, we have ads here in D.C. I'm sure they're going on all over the country saying that AIDS is still a pandemic. I mean, they're calling it the AIDS pandemic. Fauci has been working for 30 years to create an AIDS vaccine and been unsuccessful. But the coronavirus vaccine follows much of the same thinking as the AIDS vaccine. So you may have, you know, on the one hand, a regular flu. On the other hand, some kind of an agent that came out of a laboratory. And you may also have some kind of byproduct, residue, or expression of what we've been calling AIDS since 1981, all going on simultaneously. And certainly theoretically, you could have more things than that. Now, the point is not to denigrate the or deny the seriousness of the situation. I want to be very clear that there is something out there that's causing huge problems when people get it. And we need to deal with it and think it through. But we have a much broader capacity to think about this than we've been using to make up public policy. And then hopefully we'll move on from here. I know Fauci appeared, I think it was on March 20th, might have been March 10th, but in March of 2000, and said there were, I think, 7 cases of coronavirus in the country recognized at that time. He was on the Today Show, and he said that this was going to get quite a bit worse. A year later, he was on, and he said not in his wildest imagination that he imagined, and it was possible, that 550,000 Americans would actually die as a result of this. And that number is going up every day. He blamed it on the political handling of the issue. So, being a curious agnostic, I'm very, very curious to hear what Fauci says. And at the same time, agnostic about believing anybody has the answer. First of all, I don't think there's the answer. I think we've got a multiple problem going on and multiple answers are needed, and we're working our way systematically through them, and eventually we'll come up with some balance. But this is a much more complicated reality than anything you see in the news media. Next rant. You've got any comments to that?
No, Peter? That was excellent. But I do, before we run out of time, because we're down to the last 10 minutes, what about the idea that they're actually vaccinating children all the way down now to age 12. And I told my wife when she was passing, because she was kind of kooky, that they're actually allowing pregnant ladies to get, or encouraging pregnant ladies to get vaccinated, and she almost dropped whatever she was carrying because she's been pregnant three times. She wouldn't even color her nails or color her hair when she got pregnant. So the idea of vaccinating pregnant women as well as kids. So do you want to comment on that?
Well, I mean, the fundamental position that I take and that Citizens for Health takes is that it should be, and we fight for, the right to choice in every healthcare decision, including vaccines. And we're saying that anybody that wants to not do a vaccine has the right not to do that. And then it's society's responsibility to figure out how to live with the fact that there are people who do not want to be vaccinated. And I want to make it very clear that there are a number of approaches that are in addition to, or you can take rather than the vaccine. For example, Merck dropped its vaccines. It's not making the it dropped out of the vaccine battle or the vaccine competition or whatever it is, and said they're going to create therapeutic responses, drugs that can ameliorate the coronavirus and make it possible that if you got it, you can be treated for it. And there are a number of those kind of drugs. The non-pharmaceutical approaches, that would be, you know, everything you mentioned earlier on, acupuncture and homeopathy, a whole range of things, are valuable whether or not one is vaccinated. First of all, acupuncture, for example, is used in conjunction with chemotherapy for cancer to help the chemotherapy be more effective. Well, it's quite possible that way that the acupuncture enhances the immune system, or homeopathy enhances the immune system, may create a way in which you can be more able to weather the coronavirus with a vaccine or without a vaccine. So that's an important part of the story. Dr. Fauci, for example, takes high doses of vitamin D. Now, he's not promoted that, and the government's not promoted that as part of the overall public policy, but I think it should be, and I think perhaps vitamin C would be useful as well. But my point simply is that there are many things that you can do in addition to deciding to vaccinate or not vaccinate. You want to keep all fetuses as free of any insult from the outside world as you can. And so, you know, it's not only, like you say, fingernail polish and hair dye would be important as well. So I think those are important things to be for everybody to be aware of and be able to consider and make their choices about. So far I've not seen the government attempting to mandate the coronavirus vaccine. They're seducing, manipulating, cajoling, presenting arguments for, doing everything they can to get people vaccinated. And people, I think, need to engage their own capacity and decide. I am very, very cautious personally about any kind of chemical, pharmaceutical product ingesting it. My sensei for antibiotics is I don't want to use antibiotics until I really need to, because I want them to work when I need them. If my temperature is up to 203 or 204 and I need an antibiotic, I want it to work. I don't want to have been taking antibiotics for years and years and years and gotten inured to their effect. Those are the kind of decisions individuals need to learn about and make. And there are lots of people out there, doctors and other healthcare providers, people who are healthcare planners and so forth, who are urging a full spectrum approach to health care. In this coronavirus situation, I think 75% of the people who have gotten the coronavirus have had underlying other health problems, like heart problems or hypertension or other health problems that the coronavirus experience exacerbated. And these are important realities to understand if you're going to chart a path through this whole morass that we're dealing with and deal with it as a complicated, complicated maze of decisions, not just one decision, but a maze of decisions, including, diet, nutrition, exercise, and all of those things, as well as making a decision about vaccines. So I think thinking about the whole full spectrum of it is the important thing that everybody has to do. And I personally think, if you're going to avoid fingernail polish and hair dye when you're pregnant, probably you want to avoid the vaccine as well.
Absolutely. Just I could imagine if I were, there's, say, for instance, three kids in a family, they're all below 18, and you have a mom and dad that want to vaccinate you, there's chances are that there's one out of those three kids that probably wants to say no. And how does that work out? Like, that's got to be – that conversation is probably going to be having across the world, especially here in the United States, though. These are tough conversations, Jim. I mean, these are really relationship-breaking, relationship-building, life-changing conversations based on they're crazy. Yeah, and unfortunately, most people used to, I think, live their life in kind of ignorance, being able to kind of say, well, I'm really not going to pay attention to that because it doesn't really make any difference to me. I think we've all been thrust into this conversation where we've had to spend dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of hours trying to educate ourselves and manipulate our way through whatever kind of information we're getting. So it's crazy. So you do a great service by being here on Building Fortress Radio. So thanks for being here.
Let me just say one more thing, and then we can wrap it up. But I just want to say that I'm very cautious about saying that people are ignorant or misinformed or whatever. What I think really for the vast majority of people, the bandwidth that they have is filled with all kinds of things that they have to do.
Absolutely.
They have to do them. And so something comes along, and unless it takes on some kind of really distinctive importance, I think the pandemic argument did, then they don't. They just don't. They have to put other things ahead of that. I know that when back in the time when we were talking about right to choice for vaccines in schools, we had almost no luck getting anybody who didn't have a kid in school interested in the issue. I mean, it was just so far off of their radar because of the bandwidth that they had, filled with every kind of other thing they're dealing with, that we couldn't get it onto their agenda. On the other hand, people who had kids in school, it was pretty high up on their agenda for at least a significant portion of them, and that's where the debate got held. But the vast majority of people weren't involved, not because they were ignorant, not because they were stupid, not because they were disinterested, but because it hadn't arrived it hadn't made it onto their survival list for their bandwidth. And I think it's important to understand that I think most people, my experience is, most people are willing to seriously consider various alternatives to pretty much anything if they have the time and resources to do it. But in our society, most individual families are spending all of their time taking care of their daily needs. And until one of these things gets to be a daily need, it gets put on the pile of things saying, I'll get to those tomorrow.
Great point. So we're going to catch you next time on Building Fortunes Radio. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/citizens, you'll be able to hear this as well as previous radio shows. And if you go to citizens.org, CITIZENS.ORG, sign up for the newsletter. For those people that are going to be doing that, make sure you sign up for the newsletter and take advantage of some of the action alerts that Jim has. And we're going to catch everybody next week. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks,
really
Jim.
I really enjoyed it, and I think it's good to cover all these topics. And look forward
great
to talking
information.
Next week.
Thank you so much. Bye for now.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.
You've been listening to the Citizens for Health radio show, brought to you by Citizens for Health on buildingfortunesradio.com with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Thanks for listening. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. Go to www.citizens.org to learn more and always listen in to Building Fortunes Radio, where our special host, Jim Turner, shares crucial information about many of the most important issues that affect your world. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. So listen in, get involved, and help spread the word. be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more Citizens for Health segments with Jim Turner and Peter Meagle. And read about what's new on www.citizens.org. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Jim Turner, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to go spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.